Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Luke chapter 16. He also said to his disciples, "There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward.' Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.' So he called every one of his master's debtors to him, and said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, 'Take your bill, and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced from her husband commits adultery. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, Between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead.
There was a rich man once, and he wore the best clothes, and a cripple called Lazarus that laid by his door. The rich man drank wine and he feasted each day. Lazarus longed for the crumbs that would fall from his plate. Well, it came to pass that poor Lazarus died. Angels carried him away off to Abraham's side. And the rich man died also, he was buried as well. But he woke in the flames and the torments of hell.
Lesson 60, The Rich and Poor Man. In today's lesson, we see Jesus continuing to teach the proud Pharisees, who loved money and needed to learn that loving money means loving self and not loving God, and this would lead them to a disastrous future of suffering God's eternal judgment. Jesus wants us all to understand that the true riches are not the possessions we gain in this world, but are the comforts and blessings found in heaven. Jesus tells another parable about an unjust steward. This man was supposed to look after his master's property and money, but had not been faithful. When accused of his unfaithfulness and told that his job as steward was taken from him, he became very concerned about his future. So he thought to himself about how he was not strong enough to dig ditches or do manual labor, and he certainly did not want to have to beg. With all of this in mind, he decided to secretly call the debtors of his master and reduce their debt by 50% or 20%. This he hoped would win him favor with these debtors, and they would be glad to take him in and look after him when he was no longer employed. When the master discovers the actions of his unfaithful steward, he commends his shrewdness or wisdom. I am sure he did not like losing his money, but he still admired the man's foresight to prepare for the future. The Lord has told this story not to call our attention and approval of the man's crimes and wicked behavior, but rather to notice how he wisely prepared himself for his future. Jesus now teaches us the spiritual lesson from this story and says that we must also be wise about preparing for our future. For we also have a stewardship. The money which the Lord entrusts to our care is not just for our selfish use, to live as we please, but he intends that we use it wisely, not for our comforts now, but for our comforts in heaven. He said we should make friends by the unrighteous mammon, that is, use money to win souls for Christ. Then, when we fail, that is, when we leave this world and go to heaven, we shall have many friends to welcome us there. This is wise planning for the future. Jesus says that if we cannot be faithful with the money he entrusts to us, then God cannot entrust to us the true riches, that is, the care of souls. If I am not willing to use my money to help bring people to Jesus, then God will not put precious souls into my care to help them in their Christian walk. These are important words for everyone to hear, especially those who call themselves pastors. First, invest and show that you are serious about God's work. Then God will add to you further responsibilities. If we prove faithful in little, that is, with money, then we will also be faithful with much, that is, the spiritual care of others. Jesus plainly states that we cannot serve God and money. Money is a tool to use for God's glory, not something I use to indulge all my wants and desires. When the Pharisees heard Jesus talking about this, they scoffed at him, for they loved money. Jesus said to them that what man highly esteems, God thinks is an abomination. Men love to make money, live in luxury, and to be applauded by others. That is why people love professional sports so much, for it is all about the glory, honor, and wealth of man. But God hates it when men live selfishly in this world and use their gains to honor self and for pushing oneself ahead, because in pushing oneself ahead, a person must oppress others. While dealing with the self-righteous Pharisees, Jesus also points out that many were pressing into the kingdom of God since the time of John the Baptist, and that God's law was unchangeable. He also mentions that men who divorce their wives and marry another are committing adultery. All these things he said to cut to the heart of these wicked men, who paraded themselves as God's men, but were in fact selfish, wicked men who twisted God's word, gave license to adultery, and sought after money and honor from men. Now Jesus tells another very famous story in our Bibles about a rich man and a poor man. The rich man ate the best of foods and wore the best of clothes, yet there was just outside of his house a poor man who was very sick with sores and hungry, hoping to eat just a few crumbs from the rich man's table. Clearly the rich man thought it was okay to eat well, but not to share with the poor man at his gate. He reasoned in his heart that I deserve my wealth. I worked for it. This poor beggar can go and get a job if he needs money. This is how rich people have to think in order to justify their greed and lack of compassion for the poor. The poor man was in such a bad state that the dogs came and licked his sores. When these two men died, we find that the rich man ends up in a horrible place of suffering, and Lazarus, the poor man, is taken by angels to a place of comfort in Abraham's bosom. What a contrast between these two men. The man who was rich in this world was very poor after death, and still is suffering in the flames of hell today. But the poor man, who had suffered so much in this world, is now in heaven rejoicing with the angels and enjoying every blessing of God. It is not that poor people get to go to heaven, but those who believe in Jesus as their Savior. And clearly this poor man was a believer, and thus was taken into heaven. The rich man wanted a drop of water to relieve his torment, but was not permitted even a drop of water. He also wanted a miraculous resurrection so that his brothers could be warned about hell, but that too was denied, because the scriptures were available to them. Remember that if you do not listen to God's word, then God is not obliged to give you any further witness, and you could perish forever in hell like the rich man. Be wise then, and take Jesus as your Savior, and seek the riches that are in heaven, and not riches on earth. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. Luke chapter 16, verse 31.
Far off he saw Abraham, he saw Lazarus, so he cried out for water, consumed by his thirst. And he cried out, come Lazarus, refresh my parched lips with the water so cool from your fingertips. But Abraham said, this great gulf has been fixed, you have your reward and Lazarus has his. For in life you were rich and Lazarus was poor. Now there's a world of difference between his life and yours.
And now for today's Bible question. Today we've been learning about the need to plan well for heaven by making good use of the money God has provided for us. We learned that we cannot serve both God and money, and that seeking after riches in this world makes us selfish, sinful, and will likely take us into the torments of hell forever. Someone might ask the question, why does God permit people to suffer in hell forever? In today's lesson, we learned about a man who went to hell. There he was suffering in agony and could find no relief. Jesus opens up our view of the afterlife. He wants us to know what is awaiting those who reject God's salvation. He does this to frighten us, to warn us, and to advise us so that we will not go to such a place. God does not want to send anyone to hell. Hell was created for the devil and his followers. God has provided an escape for us if only we will receive the salvation that he offers. This passage in Luke and others in the Gospels tell us something of what hell is like. We learn that it is a place of darkness. It is described as the blackness of darkness. God is light and the source of light, which brings beauty and life to all. But when we reject God, we reject light, and thus we are left with darkness. But even in the darkness, there is still some perception, for the rich man was able to see Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. It must have cut into his heart to see the man he once despised now enjoying the comfort of heaven while he suffered so greatly. Please remember this point, that God is just, and he will not let you get away with your sin. If you are stealing money, cheating your friends, workers, or customers, mistreating your family, all so you can look out for yourself, then God will remember this in the day of judgment. No one will get away with anything, but all sins will be punished. Hell is not only a place of darkness, but also a place of torment and flame. We cannot imagine anything quite as horrible and painful as being burned by fire, and that is the image our Lord gave to us of what hell is like, so that we will flee from God's wrath. Many people wonder why a loving God would send people to such a horrible place. But we must remember that God never intends to send anyone into hell. He wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But men love darkness more than light, because their deeds are evil. Men choose hell. It is never God's choice for us. It may seem to us to be very harsh, but God's justice is perfect. We all deserve God's righteous judgment because of our sin. But in mercy, he sent his Son to rescue us. Jesus suffered greatly so we could be forgiven. So we do not have any right to question God's goodness or justice. He will do what is right, and that means many souls who reject his Son will be cast away forever in a place of utter torment and darkness. I hope this puts the fear of God into your soul, and you will dread the thought of going into hell someday. Do not let the lust for selfish gains in this world draw you away from God's salvation. Most people choose this world for their pleasure and sin, without much thought to life after death. What a foolish choice people make when they let the devil convince them that money, riches, and fame will make them happy. The human heart can never be fully satisfied in this world. It does not matter how much money a person has or how many possessions they own. Imagine how that rich man must have felt as he suffered in the flames and thought back to the foolish way he lived his life, thinking only about himself and his money. He was probably a Jew, a child of Abraham, and visited the synagogue regularly, perhaps even a Pharisee. But it is clear that he loved his money more than he loved God. This proved he was not God's child at all, but was only masquerading as a devout religious man. When all the while he was a pathetic, selfish sinner, lost and on his way to the flames of hell. Even today his cries ascend from that dark pit of torment. Let me ask you, what do you love most, your money or God? Would you rather attend church on Sunday morning to worship God or to go to work and make money? Where is your heart? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What you love will lead you either to heaven or to hell. Are you going to heaven to be with Jesus or into the flames of hell with all your money? Paul spoke of God's desire for all men to be saved when he wrote to Timothy, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4.
To abide.
Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student.
Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the home of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Unto grace how great I did.
If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." And this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any one should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
There was a very rich man with beautiful clothes. He lived in the lap of luxury. He had a wealthy mansion and lots of friends. He didn't know anything about poverty. Lazarus, a beggar, was laid at his door. He heard the rich man say, "Hey, give me some more of that delicious food and luscious wine. Anything I ever want to have is mine." The beggar man said,
"Sir, if you please, I'd like a scrap of food. You see, I have a disease. The dogs come around and lick my sores. Could you spare a few crumbs for a man so poor?"
The rich man said, "Get him out of my sight. He makes the place look bad. He doesn't have the right to lie upon my steps. He's attracting flies. Get him out, I say." And to his surprise, the beggar man died right before his eyes. And carried Lazarus away to paradise where the chosen ones stay. Abraham took him by the hand and said, "Lazarus, the future has all been planned. When Jesus dies, he's going to take us away to live forever with him. Let's watch and pray." While the rich man died as well, and he cried out loud, for he was in hell. The fire burned and tormented him. "I want water," he cried, but it looked pretty grim. Then he strained his eyes and he saw, could it be? The beggar man Lazarus is looking at me. "Abraham, send Lazarus to bring me a drink. My tongue is so hot that I can't even think." Abraham said, "Son, that's impossible to do. There's a great big chasm between me and you. Then will you please send Lazarus to tell my brothers? I don't want this to happen to the others. They need to be warned all about this place. Send Lazarus to tell them face to face." Abraham said, "Lazarus is not who's needed. They need to listen to God's word and heed it. If they don't believe what the good book said, they won't believe Lazarus back from the dead. Jesus told the story, so we know that it's true. Don't let the same thing happen to you. Jesus told the story, so we know that it's true. Don't let the same thing happen to you."